So happy to have with us now Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, a regular here on this show. Jimmy, how you doing?
I am doing great, Vic.
Great to have you with us. Lots of news in the NFL today with Peyton Manning's release. I don't even know if I could say that. Peyton Manning released by the Colts. I just didn't think a sentence like that was ever going to come out of my mouth.
Well, I would agree with you. I would never, ever imagine, like you said, Peyton Manning being released and being a free agent later in the afternoon. And the other thing I could not ever imagine seeing is a guy being released by a team appearing at the press conference where it is being announced that he's being released. That's how classy the Manning family has raised their children.
That's such a great point, because usually these things end badly.
Yeah.
They're endings, and therefore by nature in sports, in the NFL, they don't go well. And we've seen history show us where Joe Namath out of New York and ends up finishing with the Los Angeles Rams, and terrible ending to his deal. Johnny Unitas leaving the Baltimore Colts, ending with the San Diego Chargers. And they looked wrong in those uniforms. The situation was wrong because they were hurt. They were not the players they were. And the departures had a tinge of bitterness to them.
I'll tell you one that hits locally, the day that Bill Belichick cut Bernie Kosar. It was an amazing day in Cleveland and certainly in Browns history. Vic, I'm telling you, I felt like the city was going to go underneath martial law.
Really?
That's how it was. Yeah. I remember Bernie appearing. He did a Monday night radio talk show every Monday night, and he did it out at a Holiday Inn right off of Independence Rockside Road there. And I can remember him showing up, and the place was packed, and it was like he was walking into the ring in a big heavyweight championship fight. The aisles were ringed with fond wishers of him.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable, to the point where Bill Belichick had police protection on his street in Brecksville.
I heard about
those days following that.
Wow.
It was amazing. And that ended poorly. And it did seem weird the following Sunday to see Bernie wearing the star in his helmet as he played for the Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, these are certain sights, and one of Peyton Manning, whatever the next uniform is for him, if there is a next uniform, but it seems as if he's going that way. But to the point of how this was handled, and the word class keeps coming up over and over again, I give credit to Jim Irsay and the Colts organization for recognizing that this iconic guy, as important as he was, not just to the Colts, but to the entire city, to the entire state of Indiana, entire city of Indianapolis, the entire state of Indiana, that his presence meant so much to that team becoming what it became, the building of a new stadium there, the whole works. And to have him as part of his own departure, to get to say goodbye under those circumstances versus, say, a separate press conference held somewhere else. It was held there. It was held with the owner. That, to me, is class.
Yeah, I just thought it was perfectly handled on all ends, the Colts' end and certainly on Peyton Manning's end. But isn't it amazing, Vic, when you heard him speak and how proud he was and told the people, "I was so proud to be your quarterback." And you're right. I mean, that's a basketball state. Indiana is still a basketball state.
Right.
But he made it a football state and certainly a football city in Indianapolis. When the Colts got there, I mean, it was great having them. But, I mean, people were still wondering, how are the Hoosiers going to do in the Big Ten in basketball? But he made them, you know, product number one. And, I mean, we were there this year, and still, how many 18 jerseys were there?
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
But the other thing that struck me was how choked up he got when he was talking about the equipment managers, the trainers. I mean, that's how involved he was and down home he was with the family of the Colts.
He is that team. I wouldn't even say he was that team. He is that team. So
absolutely.
Until and if Andrew Luck, who is the likely successor here, does something special right out of the gate or for a prolonged period, like, say, 14 years, a better part of 14 years, he's going to stay that way and a very hard guy to replace. And you could say right now irreplaceable, just in terms of what he's meant, his mark not only on the Colts, his mark on the entire National Football League. What's really interesting, too, about the guy and that history there, that because, again, the Colts are, Baltimore Colts, Johnny Unitas, all the folks that played on some of those great teams. But you also think about Manning and the history that's they're trying to build at Lucas Oil Stadium. There was a game a couple of years ago, a Monday night game. I was there, and the Ring of Honor, of course, has Manning, has Bob Irsay, the original owner
That's
of the
right,
team,
yeah.
and maybe a couple of other names, nothing significant in terms of names. And so afterward, Manning comes up to me, he goes, you know, I got to thinking, and they had done, Tony Dungy had just been added that night to the Ring of Honor, so that's why the topic came up. He goes, I was thinking, what if we took our Ring of Honor guys and put them up against, like, the Green Bay Packers Ring of Honor? He goes, we get our butts kicked really
Absolutely,
bad.
I said,
Peyton, the Ring of Honor is here. It's you, and it's the guys in this locker, Dallas Clark and all Jeff
right.
Saturday. I said, your names aren't up there yet, but I said, once you guys are up there, you'll do pretty well.
Absolutely. I mean, there'll be others
games.
Coming. You're right. But they would do okay at quarterback, but you're right. They'd be a little thin other
They'd
areas.
Be a little thin in other areas. We are visiting with Jim Donovan here, the voice of the Browns on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So the next question that this raises, the biggest question this raises for Browns fans, is should there be interest in this guy? Are the Browns going to pursue this guy? And my immediate sense, Jim, is that it doesn't make good sense, because I look at Peyton Manning at this stage of his career, and if there's still a career left, and that's the one reason why I'm not fond of this, because as much as I'm fond of Peyton, know him well, big fan of his, the whole idea that his health could still be an issue as to how well he could perform, and even if he can throw the ball well, this whole deal of nerves in your
right.
neck area, you start taking hits. That is an issue. The age is an issue to me. This is more of a quick fix guy on a team that has got a short path to getting where it wants to go. That is not the Browns.
No, I don't think so, and I think the Browns realize that. Now, what it will do for the Browns is it's going to clear up some traffic, I think. Other teams that are involved in the jam with them to possibly make moves to go up to number two in the draft, to possibly look at other quarterbacks in free agency before we get to April in the draft.
Right.
So it's going to define who the players are by the time the Browns make their move on whatever they're going to do at quarterback. But I think Peyton Manning's going to look at teams just like you say, and he's going to look at the team and say, potential teams, and say, are they close? Like, if I go there,
yeah.
am I going to be the thing that puts them over the top? Am I going to do what Kurt Warner did for the Cardinals when he went there and got them to a Super Bowl? Is he going to be able to do that for a particular team? And do they have some toys to play with? Do they have some weapons? And I think, you know, as much as teams are going to shop and take a look at him, I think he's going to, you know, take a look at them.
Yeah, this is the same guy. When he was coming out of college and ended up being the top overall pick of the Colts, they didn't actually interview him at the combine. He interviewed them. In that 15-minute period, Bill Polian, their former president, vice chairman, and GM, whatever, he held all those titles, and the guy who drafted Manning tells me the story that we sat in that room, and Manning's got a legal pad in front of him, which he said he always carried with him through his whole career, and he had about 20 questions that the Colts had to answer for him.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of guy he is, the standard. And, yeah, he's going to be selective, and you would think he's going to have to pick not only a place, as you say, that has surrounding cast that gives him the chance, but the coaching that gives him the chance, to the extent that, yeah, he can take, I guess, the direction and the guidance, but that's Peyton's show. It has to be a special kind of coach who's going to allow him to run the offense his way.
Yeah, because you're getting a quarterback and you're getting an offensive coordinator, too. And going back to the 20 questions there, I gather that they did not get that kind of process with Ryan Leaf.
Good. Not only didn't they get that process, the Leaf story's even better. He didn't show up for the interview.
It wasn't that difficult to pick at all.
Yeah, he blew him off. Yeah, so the Colts said, well, let's see. Manning shows up and asks us questions. The other guy doesn't even show up.
Right.
The history sort of told was going to tell itself. It was very telling what was going to happen as we saw unfold with Leaf being Leaf and Manning being the icon. So the rest of it is about free agency in my mind as we look to next week and as we March 13th when it starts. You say about Manning clearing things up to see who pursues him, and I guess for Browns fan, for the Browns and for their fans, the hope would be that, say, a Washington does go after
right.
the Redskins, make their pursuit, and they're considered the only other quote front runner competing if the Browns are in competition for this to move up to number two to get Robert Griffin III. But the other thing that we'd look at is, would the Browns have interest in a Matt Flynn? And if indeed that's the case when free agency begins, because those are the high strike players that you're going to go for right away.
Well, and Vic, I think that the Browns, you know, have to look at a situation at the quarterback position, and they have to do due diligence on every possibility that they can look at to try and help them at the position. So, yeah, if we get to April and they haven't done anything, I think it leads us into the belief that they're going to do something in the draft. But before that, as you said, and as early as next week, when free agency begins, I'm sure they're going to take a good look at that and say, yeah, do we take a look at Matt Flynn? Do we take a look at the rest of the crop that's possibly going to come out? And maybe there's a guy there that can fit. And then maybe we don't have to push the envelope in the draft and pay as much as we can. We're probably going to have to pay to get that pick, and we could get a quarterback a little later if we're so inclined to even get a quarterback, because they still have a young quarterback here.
Right. And yeah, this none of this presumes that the Browns are going to make a move for a quarterback, but this is what this is what we're talking about, and it's certainly worthy of the attention and the discussion, because you have to think that it at least is under consideration. And knowing what Mike Holmgren has said during the offseason, his State of the Browns address after the season, when the offseason began, saying that this team getting a quarterback every year is the way it should be done.
Right.
It's the way he's always believed it should be done. So I'm holding him to that, and that's what I'm looking to see. But other positions and the selective process that this team takes to free agency, Tom Heckert's approach as well, and in keeping with what we've heard from Mike Holmgren as well, that you just don't go out there and spend. You target specific areas. So is free agency the place where this team could also, again, be looking at wideout, be looking at offensive tackle, be looking at some depth at linebacker, be looking for a pass rusher somewhere?
Yeah, I think that, number one, the first area that would strike me beyond quarterback, Vic, would be at wide receiver. I think a veteran wide receiver, a guy that's been in the league, maybe not a long time. I don't think you want to get somebody that's at the end of the road, but I think you'd like to get a guy probably coming off his first contract that would be out there and available, and that could come in and knows the game and could come in and immediately help you at that position. I think that that would be the first thing that I know I would be happy to see them do that. I think that their quarterbacks who are currently here would be happy to see them do that, and I think the fans would be happy to see them do that. And then April comes, and maybe you add a young receiver. But yeah, I would think that wide receiver would be an area that right away that they would look for somebody that has played in the league, been successful in the league, and has still got years left in the league, that could come in and help Greg Little, and could help a guy like Cripps, could help Massaquah.
Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, joining us here. We're just getting started with this conversation on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Back with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim, the move that was made with extending the contract of DeQuell Jackson, I think made a pretty loud statement about how this team can have a very, not only the view of valuing a player who's important to you, but the open-mindedness about it. And I think it was DeQuell's reaction when turning to Mike Holmgren and basically thanking him at that news conference, and then to respect and appreciate the idea that he is valued enough by a regime that did not bring him in. That's
right.
Not the normal course in this game, especially for a player who knew he had one season on the field out of three.
Amazing, and a great day. I mean, a great day for him. I'm really happy for DeQuell, because I know that he loves playing here, and I know it killed him to not play the 2 years before that.
Yeah.
I remember being out there a year before this, last season, on that summer night. It was an evening practice, Vic, and all of a sudden he felt something in the pec area, and he had just come back after having lost basically the entire season the year before, and how disappointed he was. And I'm sure that at that point you say to yourself, this is chronic, this is not going to get better, I can't play because I can't use my arm and I can't tackle, I might be done. Whether they're going to be in a 3-4 or a 4-3. And he was so close the year before that to getting a contract extension bigger deal, but everything was put on hold, that it's amazing the way he came back and got in there and played in a new defense with really a new coaching staff and played so well, and it was recognized and it paid off for him. And I think it's good, because I think he's a leader, and I think he even became more of a leader the more he played. But it's hard to be a leader when you're in the trainer's room.
No, you have to be a leader, you have to be out there and be a quality player.
Absolutely.
Or no one follows. But, yeah, I think it does put him – it elevates his position and standing on this team, because – the Browns need more of those kinds of guys, and if anything, you need to, I think, train a stronger spotlight on a player who is that guy, that good, dependable, quality person, not only a talent, but a player who works at it. And, and it takes that extra time and film study. I think the best thing he told me we had a chance to visit on this show was when the guys start coming back for the off season, getting them together to look at film and maybe just applying that standard of excellence of what you need to do to be a better football team to improve on 4-12.
You know, and the other thing, Vic, is when you looked at last summer when the Browns made the commitment to Chris Gokong, a lot of people went, that's an interesting move. But as you watched him play, and I think with heightened confidence and loyalty to the club for what they did for him, Gokong gave them a really good season last year.
Yeah.
He had to end up going over and playing the other side when Fujita went out. But I think that was a nice mixture now with DeQuell and with Chris Gokong. And certainly I remember Gokong playing so hard and stubborn down on that goal line in Pittsburgh that amazing goal line stand that they had over at Heinz Field. And that's what you need. I mean, they identify the guys that they think are going to be in there when it's really gritty and when someone has to make a play. And you got to have that guy that makes the play. And I think they've identified those two guys, and they're on their way in that area.
We're visiting with Jim Donovan. Of course, he is the voice of the Browns here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The franchise tag that was placed on Phil Dawson, and what we think that will mean in the long run. I mean, for players, for the most part, they would rather, of course, not have that tag. They want that opportunity to get the longer term deal, which translates into more money and more commitment. At the same time, he was one of, about a half dozen kickers in this league that did get the tag. So you can sense the trend that was out there. The market, you know, from his perspective, and this doesn't necessarily make him feel better, but from a marketplace perspective, that was the marketplace. The marketplace was the entire league almost said all kickers in a final year of a contract, they're going to get tagged.
Yeah. Well, he's made himself irreplaceable here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because there's so much about knowing how to kick here. And certainly late in the year and field conditions and weather. I mean, he masters it. I mean, he really does. I'm sure others have stronger legs. But although he had a very strong leg this year, consider what he did. But he also knows the science of kicking here, which is so important. Now, Vic, the last 2 years, I have bought him farewell gifts. And, you know, because I've always thought the last game, hey, Phil, if we don't get a chance to see each other, it's been great. I mean, because it looks as though the last 2 years that that's going to be it. And
has he returned them to you?
He has returned them. And I know the only tough part for him about this, because I do believe he loves playing here, and he'd like to be here when this team does turn the corner and is good, and he'd be a big part of it. But I'm sure the tough part is mileage and separation from his family. His kids are going to school now, and I think they went to school down in Texas this past year, and so that's a different situation, and that's difficult. That's family. It all hits us at the heart and tugs at that when you do it. But he has definitely made himself, I think, irreplaceable with the Cleveland Browns right now for what he does and how well he does it. I can't imagine bringing another guy in here to try and do what he does and being as effective as he was.
Yeah, and there was no questioning the logic of this move, because you can't let go the most dependable player you've got in a role and on a team where even if you make major strides offensively, as this team is setting out to do for 2012, look at the league. The best and most explosive teams still need that guy who can make the difference wherever it may be, from 50 yards or whatnot. Yeah. You know, a close game. Special teams was the defining part of the postseason, right on through to the Super Bowl, obviously. So we know what that value is. The Browns certainly recognize that value. What it leaves now is the thought of where you go next with, say, Peyton Hillis, where you go next with other positions, including running back now in the draft. I mean, do you think it puts a higher premium on running back, or is running back to be treated the way this team was, you know, going to probably treat it all along, which I thought was, regardless of what they did with Hillis, they were still going to have to address it?
Well, they're going to have to address it. I don't know how high you go and address it, though. And I think once they get this offense running the way they want it to run, and I don't mean, you know, literally running. I mean, I think they want to throw the ball, and I think they want to throw it certainly much more effectively than they did last year. And for bigger chunks of yardage. I think they want to get chunks of yardage, not little nibbles of yardage. That's where I think that basically, you know, then the running back position probably, you know, not that it gets watered down, but it certainly just becomes – it doesn't become the big piece in the offense. It's just an important piece in the offense. And so I think that, you know, in the perfect world of mm-hmm. what the Browns offense is going to be, you got to have a running back and you want him to be effective. But mm-hmm. I don't think he is the offense like Peyton was 2 years ago here in Cleveland.
Sure. And as we also talk about this draft, and this will be endless conversation, but it is going to continue to get interesting. You got the St. Louis Rams trying to create a marketplace mm-hmm. from now. And I don't blame them for trying to do that. I don't think it's possible necessarily to get it going. It sounds great in the media to say, you know, these are the things we'd like to do, or this is what we're hearing from these other teams, and whispering to a beat writer who covers their team all the various scenarios that they're hearing, whether those are true or not. You know, you're putting that out there just to get people, especially the teams involved, all fired up about what they might need to do to get a deal done. And I think for this team's part, for the Browns' part, I don't think they're flinching on this. I don't think there's any reason to blink now on this.
No, I agree with you. And here's the other thing that St. Louis must be careful of. You cannot go down too far, you know, in that first round.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting number two. The Browns are four. So if you go down to four, I mean, you're not a dramatic drop. But if you start dropping a little bit farther than six, where Washington is, now are you going to get the player that you really need? They have needs. I mean, St. Louis has needs like we have needs. I mean, they need a wide receiver or two. They need an offensive lineman. They have to protect that guy, Sam Bradford. They have other needs. And, of course, they have Jeff Fisher in there now running the show. So you don't know what he's thinking. But that's the thing they have to watch out for. And that's where I think the Browns sit in a pretty good spot right now. Hey, we're four.
Yeah.
You know where we are.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
four.
And probably the perfect spot if you're looking for that playmaker guy who isn't a quarterback.
Absolutely. If you start going down to 8 or 10, you know, now you're did you just make the deal to make the deal?
Right.
It's like when Eric Mangini made those deals mm-hmm. out of the number 5 spot the year that he drafted and we ended up with Alex Mack. I mean, you're making deals, but at some point, you know, are you making them just to keep storing picks, or are you going to get a player that's going to help you? Now, Mack has been a very fine player for them, but, you know, there were a lot of needs that year for the Browns.
No, great stuff, Jimmy, as always, and I thank you so much, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, Vic, look forward to it.
He is Jimmy Donovan. He is the voice of the Cleveland Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.